Meeting of House Labor and Commerce will come to order. The time is 3:17 on February 13th. Members present are myself, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Kopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, Representative Stutes. Oh, sorry. I get those two names confused. Representative Knopp, not Kopp. Representative Sullivan Leonard is excused. We do have a quorum for a meeting. Please silence your cell phones. I'd like to thank Caitlin Ellis, Labor and Commerce Committee Secretary, and Kyle Schramm from the Juneau LIO for their support today. Committee staff is Tally Teal. Any communication to the committee should be done through Tally. On today's agenda is HB 90, Occupational Licensing Fees Investigation Costs. We intend to hear and hold this bill. First order of business, Chair Keto will be presenting HB 90 to the committee with his staff, Crystal Kieneman. Please come to the chair, put yourself on record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Sam Keto, Representative District 33, and we are here to talk to you about House Bill 90. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation. I really just have the sponsor statement in the bill and some fair amount of time thinking about the issue. So this issue in different forms has been raised over the years, especially given some of the problems we've seen with some of the boards that have smaller numbers dealing with investigative costs spread out only among a few licensees. A few of those boards are the Board of Midwifery, the Big Game Commercial Services Board. For a slightly different reason, I think the Board of Realtors has had some issues in the past, but some of the boards that have limited numbers of registrants, when you have a few investigations in a year, some of the investigations can cost, but even when the investigations don't cost a significant amount of money, when you have a limited number of licensees to share that cost over, and you have a law that exists in our statute that says each of the boards needs to be financially self-sufficient, you end up in a situation where you can have very large spikes in licensing fees from one biennium to another. And as a licensee, these fees, or these very large fees, can become an impediment to practice because or a barrier to entry, as our legislative auditor Chris Curtis had mentioned in regard to the Board of Midwifery. If it costs too much to become a licensee, there are lots of people that may not want to enter the field. And several years ago, some efforts were made by the department to internalize the investigation costs, and that bill was introduced, but it happened to be at the time that the legislative budget was under pressure and oil prices started going down, and the cost to that piece of legislation was 100% general fund, and it was pretty much dead out of the chute because it was going to be very difficult to add general fund expenses. It's an issue that continued, and so when I started looking at what issues labor and commerce wise we could address that would help larger groups of people perform their functions much more safely, easily, and financially reasonably, this one came out on towards the top of my list. And what we are doing here is really taking the board investigation costs, which we've got some information that actually shows those costs over a period of years, and we're proposing to assess a fee among all licensees and registrants for the occupational licenses and use that amount of money to pay for the investigations for all of the boards and the licensing boards. What we did when we kind of did the math on this is from individual costs that vary by board from thousands of dollars to less than $100 identified for investigations, We spread that out over all of the licensees and professions. We end up with about an average cost of $60 per biennium. Is it?
Roughly.
So about $60 per biennium, which means if we spread that out among all of the licensees, some licensees will pay a little bit more, in the neighborhood of $7 to $20 more than they're paying now, and some licensees will pay less, to the tune of thousands of dollars less than they are now, making those professions much more approachable for especially people that are just trying to start out. It really is an effort to do something like we do with health insurance or other realms. The contrary position is that some boards feel they don't utilize investigations to the level that some of these other boards do and are not interested in paying the cost. My position is that shared cost among all of the licensees is relatively minor in light of the overall licensing costs and helps the entire division, because I think it provides the ability for the division to have a better way of spreading costs out instead of trying to spend so much work managing how much money a board might be able to accommodate. So one of the challenges in the system right now is because the costs have to be adjusted per biennium, if you have a licensing fee that could result in a very significant increase in fees, there's nothing even in our current statute that allows those costs to be spread out over multi-bienniums, although that is being done because it's the only way to avoid a significant barrier of entry to some of those professions. So in a sense, the department is violating the law in a way, even directed to by our legislative audit division, to make sure that we are not creating a situation where we are turning people away from a profession. I think helping the professions with a smaller number of licensees is beneficial to those professions with a larger number of licensees. I am a registrant with the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. My fee will change by about $20. I think it's an increase of $20 each year. I can afford $20. It's not going to be that big of an impact in my budget. There are many other things that are going to be bigger impacts in my budget. And that comfort level in knowing, perhaps I have a family member that might want to receive services from a midwife. We all benefit from making sure that all of the professions have the resources they need, especially in light of the costs of investigation. So that's kind of the broad brush. Crystal Kieneman has a few more of the details. We also have the department here with some other detailed information, and we do expect that there will be people interested in weighing in on this issue. And if there are other solutions out there, I'm more than happy to have discussions about that. This is the one that really seemed the most fair to the most people. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Keto. We have a question from the committee. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, through the Vice Chair. Chair Keto, I appreciate this, and I can see where you're trying to level the playing field. I guess my concern would be, with my exposure working with other board members in the last couple of years, the experience that they had, and I'm looking at the chart you have in here for the investigative process, the experience that they had very significant investigative charges charged to their board, which put them $500,000 in the hole, unbeknownst to them. But the problem was, it was the department that was determining whether or not these investigations should go forward with either no input from the board or objections to the from the board saying, we can handle this and we can find these individuals and it will be much more cost effective than launching this big investigation when we know what's happening or what's happened. And I don't see where that's addressed in this bill. I don't know that maybe that's a separate issue, but it seems to me that they kind of play in together, having some kind of parameters, some kind of enforceable parameters on how these investigations are indeed launched, because as you've noted, they're quite expensive, and some boards incur huge fees for that.
Through Vice Chair Wool, Representative Stutes, there are several different aspects to the problem with investigations and licensing, and we looked at it in terms of this being one piece, and I'm not sure if this will completely answer your question, but to know that we have been thinking about those issues, similar issues. There is a concern that I've had that the investigators are having to investigate claims or concerns of unlicensed practice, and an individual that is out, say, practicing engineering without a license is not somebody who is governed under the board, which means my license fee is having to pay that investigator to go investigate somebody who is claiming to be an engineer. Is that a valid use of my fee to have to go out and try and find people that are not licensed? Some people say it is, some people say it isn't, but I think that might be a discussion to have. I just think that that discussion happens, from my perspective, in the next phase. So looking at the costs and then looking at what are the responsibilities of the investigator. Are the investigators there to make sure that each one of us engineers is doing the job that we're supposed to be doing, or is that job also to include looking for people that are practicing without that license? And maybe it is both, but maybe it is just taking care of the people that are paying for the fees. And so there are some questions out there that I think will be a challenge to get to. There are also some concerns about whether or not the licensing or the investigation costs have been identified properly. The audit information that we have from our Division of Legislative Audit did not actually find any errors or concerns with how the investigations were taking place. They did find some issues with how some of the costs were distributed among the licensees in a couple of years. But as we heard from Legislative Auditor Chris Curtis at one of the previous meetings, most of those issues of not having investigative costs incorporated into the licensing fees in the past have been resolved, and now we are in a situation of working through paying down some debt through investigations. And one of the things I also want to add to my testimony on the bill, there was some comment issued about what happens to those debts, those backlogs of investigation costs that are already out there. The transition that we anticipate will be that those costs will be borne by the boards that they're under right now, and that we start a new day with this bill, and as new investigations come in, they come out of the combined fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some concerns with this, and one of them centers on exactly what the representative from Kodiak mentioned, and that was the cost and who manages those costs. And my inclination would be that the board that is actually calling for this investigation would have some degree of control or influence over the costs that are incurred during the course of the investigation. And you know, when I see $100,000 bill roll up because you're doing an investigation, I would hope that there's some board engagement in deciding that, and that somebody's kind of going, well, what can we afford and what can we not afford? And and I guess through the chair, my question would be, who's managing this, and how do you get a $500,000 investigative charge that there's some question about who's paying for it?
Through Vice Chair Wool, Representative Birch, there are a couple of components to your question. One of the things that the department does right now is field those requests for investigation. The requests for investigation don't come from the board. They come from individuals, either individuals that are licensed that are concerned about somebody else's licensed or unlicensed practice, or from a member of the public that is concerned about the behavior or activities of one of the licensed professionals. Those complaints go to the investigator for that particular board, and that investigator then generally, depending on the board, but generally will go to an individual on the board to help determine or verify whether an investigation is warranted. So the board is, from my experience, generally engaged at the decision-making level of when an investigation takes place. The investigators don't go without some consultation with the board for an investigation. The department can probably answer that question much better, but I do recall from the times I've sat in on the architects, engineers, land surveyors board meetings, those seem to be the processes that were identified. Regarding the costs and how to make sure that we've got control of the costs, those costs for investigations are very well known by the department, and they do get reported to the individual boards, and so the individual boards have the ability to see what those costs are. There are some investigations that do cost a fair amount of money. The ones that I've heard that have cost some of the largest amounts of money were the Big Game Commercial Services Board, where there's a significant amount of travel and a significant amount of investigation that takes place because the violations have taken place in remote areas in the state. But that was the one example of where costs can actually appear to be very high.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I may, please. This is Crystal Kinnaman, staff to Representative Keto, for the record. Representative Birch, also to answer your question, in your packet, there is a breakdown of the investigative process, and it has the flow chart of what triggers a complaint and how that process is resolved. I also know that there are a lot of the boards that have some of the higher investigative costs. They've been working very closely with their investigators in order to determine truly what classifies an investigation and what they really want them to investigate. And so I know over the last few years that the department has been trying to work very closely with those boards so that it doesn't appear that the investigators are kind of off on their own, but that they're really working in tandem for the protection of not only the licensees, but also all of Alaska.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Yes, this is, I think, mostly a comment, but if Representative Keto or Ms. Kinnaman want to respond, that's great, too. It also strikes me, and I'm not an expert in this, but you could have criminal misconduct for which there is either a conviction or an acquittal. It can be very close call in either case. A different standard, and a belief that if a criminal charge were defeated, surely a civil charge could be defeated, even though the standard is lower. And there could be public safety issues. There could be somebody who is just dead set on keeping their license, and you know, to hell with anything else, kind of thing. I suspect that happens. Mm-hmm. And they're entitled to that due process privilege to have the full panoply of hearings and trials and the rest. And I'm guessing that only has to happen a couple times and you run up a big tab. That's what I suspect is happening also.
Well, through Vice Chair Wohl, Representative Josephson, I don't have an answer to that, and I don't know. So the investigations I've been aware of have not crossed into criminal. And the department can probably answer this one as well. If you cross into the criminal realm, then I don't know that any kind of a process within the board review has any bearing, but any investigative materials that the investigator came up with, I'm sure, get transferred over into that criminal case. And at that point, I'm not really sure what the board's responsibility is for paying, but that would be a department question as well.
And again, this is Crystal Kinnaman, Representative Josephson through the chair. We do have an investigator online to better answer questions regarding those intricacies. But I do know of a few cases that have both gone criminal and civil. So it's not uncommon. It has happened in the past.
And just a quick follow-up through
sure.
the chair.
Representative.
I think in the instance of Big Game Commercial Services Guide, that would be sort of a textbook situation where it might happen.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to comment on that.
Okay. We do have someone from Investigator Online, and maybe a couple more questions here, and then we can bring him in. Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Kito, so I am interested in finding a cure, a fix for the investigative cost. I'm not so sure that I'm on board as this being the mechanism, and when I say that, it's because when I'm looking at cost, and I'm looking particularly at the Board of Architects, Engineers, ones you're familiar with, land surveyors, and I'm looking at the biennium for 12 and 13, and I'm looking at administrative cost being, so administrative cost for that particular time period was about direct expenditure, $700,000, and then investigative cost was only like $136,000, and then you got some indirect expenditures, well, total expenditures, $877,000 for that. And then I'll go on to the next biennium, 14-15, where total expenditures are $1,003,000 and investigative expenditures are $185,000. And so we're really, here's my problem. I'm good at fixing investigative costs, which are pretty minimal in this case, so these fees are mostly going to support administration, and I'm not sure it's the right mechanism for that. I think that's probably my problem.
So through Vice Chair Wool, Representative Knopp, and I think the information is, you know, a slight way information overload, because we are just discussing the investigative costs in this piece of legislation. All of those other costs are right now and will continue to be attributed to each individual board, and they will be responsible for managing all of those other components. So all we're talking about is pulling those investigative costs out for all the boards and then normalizing them among all the boards. All those other costs would remain attributable to each one of the boards, and I don't know if that helps, but I'm also happy to have a longer conversation.
It does help. It does help. Thank you. And just to clarify through Chair follow-up. And we're only talking about professional licensing, not business licenses. Is that correct?
Through Vice Chair Wool, Representative Knopp, yes, only the professional licenses, only the individuals that for life, health, or safety reasons are required to have a license or a registration.
Okay, thank you.
Question. Representative Burke.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question as it relates to the options available to a board for an investigation, like in the professional engineering community, does a board have an option to contract independently with someone to go and do some research or background, or I mean, is the investigative capacity or are the investigative assets that are available to the board, do they have to all be within the, you know, Department of Commerce or how Department of Law or something, or what are the options the board has?
Through Vice Chair Wool, Representative Birch, my understanding with the engineering, well, several years ago the engineering board actually had statute change, so there is a single investigator designated for AELS investigations. That will stay the same, so that individual will work for the AELS board. My understanding is for some things that investigator does not have the capacity to do, the department can authorize that investigator to go out and hire somebody to collect some additional information or something, but the board would be better suited to answer that question more fully.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing no questions, I do have a few myself, Representative Kito. Well, for one, is it, and maybe this should go to the department, but, well, a couple questions. Is there any group that uses a disproportionately amount of investigative resources? And, we mentioned Big Game or midwives. Are there some that, not per individual, but per group, is there some that use more categorically?
Right. Chair Wool, I think I'll go ahead and defer to Ms. Kinnaman.
Representative Wool, there are. I didn't provide it to the committee. I can ensure that all of you get a copy of it. On their website, they do have an annual report for investigations. Just off the top, each board, they have it broken down by investigations, intakes, complaints, and probation. Acupuncturists had a total of 10, architects, engineers, and land surveyors, a total of 70. Big game guides, 148, barbers and hairdressers, 162.
You're talking individual investigations.
I'm talking, these are investigations, intakes, complaints, and probations total for each of those.
And are
board specific.
Are some investigations inherently more expensive, say, depending on what field they're in, if they require more expertise or if they have to hire outside experts?
Representative, well, absolutely. Depending on the profession, those costs can vary.
Okay. So, for example, we had the midwives in here a week or two ago, and they have here 64 or 65 members. Right. And if they have a large investigative, incur a large investigative expense, they have fewer people to spread it out, and that's why their fees were looking at going up to $4,000. But if this was spread out over 74,000 licensees, all the investigative, you're saying, would be about $30 a year average, so that a group like the midwives, not including their past debt, their fees would be spread out over everyone that has a professional license.
Representative Wold, that is correct. And I want to make sure that it's clear for the record, those are our rough estimates, that $30. There are some indirect costs that I haven't been able to factor into those that the department I know is working on. They weren't able to have those definite numbers today, but they are working on getting those for
okay.
us.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, I think as we get into some of the details or some of those numbers, it might be beneficial to hear from the department.
Sure.
As we move forward.
I had a couple more questions, but I'll probably wait. Now, we have invited any other questions for Representative Keto? And we have invited testimony on the bill, Janie Hovenden with Department of Commerce and Community Economic Development Director is in the room. And if you want to come up and testify on this bill?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Janie Hovenden. I'm the Division Director for Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. I'm here to answer any questions, and as well is Al Kennedy is the investigator. He's on the phone, and he can answer any questions you have for the investigations process.
Okay. Representative Birch.
Yeah, just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on an earlier discussion, how do you, when somebody decides to make a $100,000 investigation and you've got a, you got the midwives or you have a relatively small, is their board or is somebody made aware of the fact that this could have an adverse impact on their licensing fees on an annual basis, or is there any sensitivity to that, either by the board or by somebody in the administration that is kind of overseeing this program?
At this time, Mr. Chair, is it possible to get Al Kennedy
sure.
on the line
sure.
and he
He's
can?
He's on the line. Right
okay,
now,
great.
So we can, Mr. Kennedy, are you there? Are you listening?
Yes, sir. I am.
Okay. Did you hear the question?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Feel free to
basically,
respond.
Basically, the investigative process.
Can you state your name and your affiliation for the record, please?
Okay, my name is Alvin Kennedy, and I'm a senior investigator for the Department of Commerce Professional Licensing Section.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically when a complaint is filed, an investigator is assigned, and at that point, when we find that it is within our jurisdiction, that investigator gets with someone that's assigned to that particular board to review the case and to make sure that we're able to proceed forward. The investigator does not determine whether or not statute or regulation has been violated. It's actually the board member who makes that determination. It's actually the board member who makes the determination as to whether or not what type of discipline will be doled out from what we find out if it is in fact a violation of statute or regulation. So boards are involved very early on in the process when we start our investigations. Again, we're the fact finders. We find the facts and then we present them to one or two members depending upon the board who's reviewing the case so that they can make a determination as to which direction we're going to go.
By way of follow-up, thank you. How many investigators are there?
Well, we currently have 16 assigned, but we regulate 43 different professions here for the state.
Okay, and when you, by way of follow-up, when you go out on an assignment, do you have a budget that you work with? In other words, is there kind of an expectation that, you know, I've got, you know, 3 plane trips someplace and a couple overnights and do you generate a budget that, you know, so there's some expectation by the board as to what it's going to cost? I mean, so they can kind of make a balanced decision on whether they want to spend, you know, $100,000 for something that might be it can balance that against their budget?
Normally, if there are trips like that planned, it's normally the board who lets the investigator know, we want you to go into these areas to take a look or do inspections in those areas that they want you to go into. Most of those trips normally are taken via vehicle, very seldom. Are we flying unless it's into some remote place? And then in most occurrences, we partner with someone in that area. For example, the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Normally, if that investigator goes out, he goes out with the Alaska State Troopers. They house him, they transport him, they do all of that so that we're able to complete the mission as inexpensive as we can.
With 16 investigators, do you find yourself overloaded? Or I'm curious as to how, looking at the broad number of the 43 different professions, does this kind of keep you busy all the time?
It does. We're driven by the public. On the most occasions, the complaints come in. We review the complaints, and it's not just complaints that we look at. When people file applications to receive licensure, there are certain boxes that they have to check, and if they check yes to some of those boxes, then those applications also comes over to investigations for review to make sure that there aren't certain barrier crimes or that we're not licensing someone who has barrier crimes in their background, which would be a threat to public safety.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Through the Vice Chair, I have two questions. You're saying any board member can make the determination of whether or not there's going to be an investigation. Is that unilaterally, or does it take a majority of the board?
No, that's unilaterally across. There are two public members normally assigned to each board. Public members do not review investigations, but those who are licensed within that particular profession are the people that we use to review the cases and determine which direction that the division will go, depending upon, whether it's within our jurisdiction or not.
Follow-up?
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Through the Vice Chair. So if you have a board of 7 members and 6 of the members say there's been no we don't want an investigation, and one member says, I believe this guy needs to be investigated, you would launch an investigation?
Basically, by the time the investigation gets to the entire board, it's already been conducted, and at that point, when the entire board is looking at a case, they're trying to determine whether or not they're going to either accept discipline or not accept discipline, and by that point, it's basically by majority. The vote goes by majority.
Follow-up, Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Through the Vice Chair, Are there? Do you currently have a backlog of I don't want to say claims, accusations, cases?
No, ma'am. We're actually fairly. For a while there, a few years ago, we were catching up. But as far as right now, stuff comes in. We have a 72-hour window. When a complaint comes in, that we're responding to it and sending out the appropriate paperwork for either the complainant or for a board member to do a review for us to let us know whether or not there was a violation of statute or regulation. We'd like to try to get cases closed within a 90 to 180 day window. And so once it comes in, they're immediately assigned. And the investigator takes it from there. But like I said, normally within 72 hours, the initial 72 hours, we're getting information out.
Thank you. One last follow-up.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Through the Vice Chair, do you have any idea how many investigations are going on currently?
I do not. I don't have that number readily available. I did just do some crunching, and I know for the fiscal year we conducted, I want to say, and I don't remember the exact number, but there were some 1,600 different types of investigations, complaints, probation matters, and in intake matters, which are basically applications and things like that, that the division investigated or either took a look at and found that there was no violation of statutes or regulation.
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
Thank you.
You had that one.
Mr. Vice Chair, you're a mind reader. Maybe you could provide those numbers to the chair of this committee so he could provide them to us, and I would also be interested if there's any current investigations going on. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
I will say there are current investigations. Again, we regulate 43 different professions, so without a doubt, there are current investigations going on. Are you asking me to provide the board chair just the open number of investigations, or are you asking it to be broken down by board, or what exactly would you like me to send the chair?
The open number currently and the number that were approached within the year, in the last year, if you could, or how many were concluded in the last year's time, in 2016?
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I certainly have some, but if you got some, I'll let you go.
Representative Birch? I'm just astonished here. How much activity are you seeing in that board and commission that manages euthanasia permits?
Not a lot.
Well, I think that's good news. Are you, I guess follow up. I was wondering if they're accepting nominations. No. Just, I was unfamiliar with that as a permit, but it looks like it is in decline. That should be a good thing.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yep.
There's not a lot.
I have a few questions for either Ms. Hovington or Mr. Kennedy, but I'll start out with Janie Hovington. Is it easier to do you foresee it's easier to manage, or maybe there's no difference, the boards as a whole with spreading out the investigative costs as opposed to looking at each individual board? Would it change your bookkeeping, and would it be easier?
Yes, Vice Chair Wohl. Being the person who does the fee analysis, it would make things easier. As you know, you've seen the midwives, and maybe you participated in the big game commercial services. Those are really difficult positions to be in, to raise fees to such a level that would create barrier to that profession.
Right. And what about unlicensed people? That came up, Representative Keto's testimony. Obviously, if you're a part of a licensed community and you're paying your licensing fees and there's a violation and you're sort of responsible for costs that may be incurred, but what if you're a non-licensed person? Let's say you're an individual doing massages without a license. and someone reports you, should the other massage therapist be responsible for covering the cost of that investigation, or should that be an external, kind of like, anyhow, do you have an answer for that one?
Mr. Vice Chair, maybe in a perfect world right now, it's the way the statute is written.
Okay.
I think it has been considered. I think it's had some previous legislation attempting to return, or maybe that would be something that would be considered public safety and could be paid for through the general fund, but otherwise, as it's written, it is paid for by licensees of the profession.
Okay. Let's see. I got one or so more questions. But these investigative costs that we're hearing about, are these mostly external costs, like travel and such, or do your in-house investigators, do they bill out if Mr. Kennedy goes out to investigate an infraction or violation, does he bill that particular board for his time as well, like a private investigator would?
Mr. Vice Chair, that's correct. They positive time keep up to the every 15 minutes, too, so they do bill. So some years one program could take up a lot of their time. The next year it's another program that might be taking up most of their time. And that's where the volatility comes in. With the all the other costs of regulating a profession, the administrative costs, the indirect costs, pretty predictable. That would keep fees pretty constant. It's the investigative costs that creates the up and down and the uncertainty and the unknown.
I guess that's about all the questions, although Mr. Kennedy mentioned something that he says if he goes out somewhere, he might stay with the troopers or be housed by them. But obviously, if he's going to investigate a big game situation, hunting situation, it's going to be different than if he's investigating a pharmacist violation or something like that. I would imagine some are more tend to be more criminal and some to be more on sort of not breaking rules that are less obvious to the layperson. Well, I mean, you have different sets of investigators, I imagine. Different people investigate, say, big game hunting as opposed to a violation of a pharmacist. Or am I? Are they all the
right.
same?
Mr. Vice Chair, they each investigator is assigned a program or more. And some are assigned strictly to some because it takes a certain level of profession. But they're all capable of cross-training when someone's on vacation. But for the most part, they specialize usually in their particular program, their assigned programs.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no more questions, I believe we have someone that called in for public testimony. So we have Al Barrett in Fairbanks. Al, oh.
Mr. Chairman, this is Al Barrett.
Let me open public testimony first, Al. I just did. So if you can identify yourself and your name and your affiliation.
My name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm representing myself. I would ask you not to support this bill. Just listening to this this conversation back and forth, I see it's like the baby sister to income taxes, where the collective will pay for everybody. What I see in this bill is there's no incentive to have a reduction in investigations or why investigations are even happening, as this bill, if passed, would fully fund the investigations through surcharges on individuals that have an occupational license. I had written you guys my comments, and one of them was, are these occupations overregulated? Meaning, like big game commercial services, which I'm most familiar with, an individual could be trapping, make a game violation, not dealing with guiding or hunting or anything else. It was just his other activity of trapping, makes a game violation, he pays the criminal offense for that game violation, and then an investigation from the Big Game Commercial Services does another investigation saying you violated one of our standards within the guiding industry, and you get slapped with another fine. You know, that had nothing to do with guiding. It's just the way some of our regulations are wrote or are in code that we need to look at, and that's what we need to start doing is, as occupations, we need to start looking at why we have such high costs and why do we have reoccurrences of investigations within our occupations.
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Barrett. We have a question from a committee member, Representative Josephson.
Yeah, thank you.
Trying to remember where I was going to go with this. Mr. Barrett, the testimony we heard was that the board asks, that is, the membership, the licensees ask for the investigation. So I don't understand your point. It seems like your complaint is not with the Department of Commerce, but with basically your co-professionals.
Through the chair, Mr. Josephson, that is partially true, but instead of looking at, you know, this bill and how to recoup these costs, and right now it's all licensed occupations have to pay a surcharge to add, you know, to even out the ebb and flow of these investigations throughout all us licensed persons, that it should be the legislature telling, you know, you need to review what's going on within your occupation, your industry. Why is nursing or why is Big Game Commercial Services having such a high bill or reoccurrence of investigations? Is it because their standards are overregulated?
Follow up, Representative Josephson.
So, through the chair, so your theory is to lessen the standards so people comply, and that's what we should do. That's your theory.
Through the chair, Mr. Josephson, no, it's like my example. Somebody commits a violation that had nothing to do with their occupational license. Yet, that occupation, Big Game Commercial Services, reinvestigates something that didn't even pertain to the occupation.
Follow up, Representative Josephson.
Couldn't it be that the procedure and the law say if someone, as an individual, violates and is found after a trial or a hearing to have violated a fishing or hunting license, that it's reasonable to expect that they may not be as trustworthy when they're guiding or transporting? Isn't that a reasonable inference?
Through the chair, Mr. Josephson, that would be reasonable. Would it be reasonable to say if you got a drunk driving ticket that you're not complying with the nursing board or the Board of Architecture?
I don't think we have a response for that question, but any more questions for Mr. Barrett? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. Barrett. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And anyone here else to testify in the room? Yes, we do. Come forward and state your name, please.
For the record, my name is Johanna Crossett. I'm a direct entry midwife practicing here in Juneau. I was here a couple weeks ago testifying for House Bill 49, and I'm testifying also in favor of House Bill 90. Very grateful to all of you for your interest, and I'm grateful for this discussion. It's good to know there is a potential solution out there that would allow for some predictability and some ability to budget for licensing fees in the future. Thank you.
Are there any questions? I have a quick question.
Sure.
Do you feel that that your particular board, which has been under discussion the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
The increase to approximately $4,000 for a license, do you feel that that would either reduce the number of participants in the field or increase the occurrence of someone practicing without a license?
I think it could potentially reduce the amount of the number of direct entry midwives practicing or those who choose to apprentice, but I don't see that midwives would choose to practice unlicensed.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your testimony. We have another public testifier. State your name for the record, please.
Sure. Vice Chair Wall and members of the committee, my name is Errol Champion. I know many of you. I'm serving and speaking to you this afternoon as chair of the Issues and Legislative Committee for Alaska Association of Realtors. And I must say that I'm really strained on how to present my testimony, but reading the bill and then listening to Representative Keto present it, I'm an advocate of paying our own way, but it seems that this goes over the mark. And as a realtor, I can tell you that in the years prior, we didn't do a very good job of paying our own way, but for the last five, we've run a surplus. And it seems to me that it's very important that we continue to take ownership in those investigative costs. When we have a colleague that doesn't pass muster, sometimes there's things we can do, like address education. Maybe we need to do a better job with education. But if we're going to amalgamate all of these charges and they just get handed out, I'm not sure how the mechanics of it is going to work. First of all, we're already paying for our investigative fees. We have one assigned. And if you'd like, I can explain to you how an investigation goes, because I also represent AAR to the quarterly meetings of the Real Estate Commission. But it doesn't go to the full commission. It goes to one member who is a realtor when that complaint is filed. And the two of them, the investigator and that commission member, decide whether it's going to go forward. The rest of the commission doesn't hear it until it's completed and there's some action determined that's needed. I just am not comfortable that the 2,643 realtors as of last Friday find it necessary for us to take ownership in about 70,000 professional licenses in the state. I understand the issue and the need to smooth things out, but we've gone through that. I've seen my license fees go up. I've seen them go down. But I think we're really on top of it, and I'd like to let the Real Estate Commission and that department or that division continue to levy out what is the cost of investigations. And to get blended, I think we lose something. When we watch our children in school, we don't have the teacher take all of the papers and all the tests and blend them, and we hand out the same grade to every student. And I just think here we really need to do to keep this isolated, at least in the larger boards. So thank you for the chance to testify. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I think we have some. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Mr. Champion, I guess I'm just sort of puzzled as to why this, like many ideas, may not be perfect, but it isn't still awfully good. And here's why. Your board could, just like these other boards, enter into an arrearage or in some sort of insolvency. This acts as a form of insurance for your members. At about $20 per person, I just don't see. I see that you now have some relationship with hairdressers, and you didn't ask for that relationship. But I guess the current system is already technically unfair anyway, because members are having to absorb the costs of the bad actor. So the idea that this is that the existing system is better, I just don't get it. Do you have a response?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, I guess my first response is I don't think the current system is broke. So I'm not sure why we're trying to fix it. We've got a great director at the Division of Corporate and Business Licensing. They've got their accounting in place. And I personally don't think that very many boards are interested in this blending of charges. And our renewal dates, for example, are all at a different time. So when's the cutoff date that you add in the 73 total investigative costs? our fees happen to come in January. So I don't see what we're gaining by this legislation.
Okay. Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have the Board of Realtors or have the Board of Realtors always been under kind of a state licensing umbrella? And the reason I ask is I see some, I know physicians obviously aren't, I see some chiropractors, but, you know, physicians, attorneys, I mean, there's some professions that are kind of independently managed or, you know, maintained and so forth. But have the Board of Realtors always been kind of under this professional licensing umbrella? And I'm just not familiar.
Representative Birch, through the chair, that's my understanding. I've only been a licensed realtor for about 18 years. So, but believe me that the controls are there, and it's a very thick document that we must comply with. Which brings me, if I could add one more thing to my responses, I find it sometimes interesting that the investigator does not understand real estate at all. Yep. And I see this is going to be a further deviation because now it's just this blending, and no longer is real estate going to take ownership in our errors and omissions.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Keto.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Champion. I hope there's maybe a misunderstanding from your part, because the thing that we're looking at, or that I'm looking at trying to do, is actually to change the financing mechanism for investigative costs, not to change the structure of how investigations are completed, which means the investigator that is assigned to the real estate board now will continue to be assigned to the real estate board. I do understand with my experience with the engineering board that there have been times when we've had to train a new investigator on some of the issues that we've had to deal with on investigations for engineering, but those kinds of things are going to happen regardless. And I guess one of the things that I think of is we can take the pay-to-play analogy way too far down the road, in my opinion, to the point where I would have to pay to plow the street in front, or the street in front of my house, but I wouldn't have to plow to pay to plow the street in front of my neighbor's house. And then, how do we account for just plowing that component of the street? From my perspective, this is one of those issues, because of some of those boards that are adversely impacted by overly high and sporadic investigation costs, it is in the public's interest to have those costs spread out over all the professions, and all the professions do have the opportunity to receive support services from the investigative group. Whether they need those support services every board would have a different need for those services, but every board in investigations has the ability to draw from that. And because of the fact that a profession is licensed with fewer representatives, or because of the fact that they have specific investigations that may cost a significant amount of money, they are being penalized with their licensing, and it's getting to the point in a few of the boards, which is why I brought this forward, that it's becoming cost prohibitive for some members to become part of those professions. And so I'm trying to make sure that we enhance and support commerce. And if you have some ideas or thoughts that we can do that, I'd be more than happy to have those conversations. It just seems like this was one of the best ways to spread those costs out equitably.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you. I'm along those lines, and I have it's actually for the chair, my question for that. And I'm wondering if this doesn't make it less likely for a board or members of a certain board to be responsible for their own actions. If some board, once this goes in, they are chronically violating their parameters, and it's continual, and they're not being, I don't want to say punished, but they're not being responsible for their own investigations. What is the deterrent for them not to continually violate the parameters that they need to live within?
Well, I might just jump in and say, I think one of the incentives not to keep violating is that you could lose your license, or you could be fined. Independent of the investigative cost that gets attributed to a particular board, you might just not be able to work again. And maybe Representative Keto can add to that, but I think there's punishment involved besides just incurring debt to the board. But I'm not an expert.
Follow up on that.
Representative Steeds.
So, and I'm not sure who this question's to. So when a violation is instigated, does that violation go to the Department of Licensing, the actual Department of Licensing, other than the Department of Investigations? So there can be punitive damages other than the investigations. I mean, am I making sense? I'm kind of talking in circles. I understand that.
Yeah, if we want to get Ms. Hovenden back up here, maybe she can answer that. Or any more questions for Mr. Champion? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you again, Mr. Vice Chair, and members of the committee. Again, for the record, my name is Janie Hovenden. I'm the Division Director for Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. For the Chair, Representative Stutes, am I understanding your question correctly? You want to know, is there something above and beyond just the cost of investigations? Like there is fines and penalties that are assessed to licensees?
My question would be, I'll try and simplify it a little bit through the chair, if
I
might.
Go ahead, Representative Stutes.
Thank you. If a board is chronically incurring investigative costs by way of violations, is there something that the department does to follow up on this chronic investigative charges by this particular board? Are there other avenues of penalizing this board? If it's one board, but several different members that are constantly having this issue.
Right. Through the chair, through the vice chair, Representative Stutes, it's not the boards themselves that are incurring these costs. These costs are by licensees in a particular program. The board can't control complaints that come in. The division doesn't control the complaints that come in. But if there are things like messaging out to their licensees about particular problems, I mean, that's the board's responsibility, and they do that on a regular basis, whether it's continuing education, if it's other things like that. I mean, there are things in place to keep individuals from
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
Thank you. So, in other words, through the chair, vice chair, there's no avenue that the department gets involved in this, in so far as punitive responses. If there's, say, the engineering board that's got, I'm just going to take round numbers, they've got 1,000 members, and in 1 year's time, you've got 500 violations against them, 500 violations that have been investigated against this one board. So that's 50%. The department doesn't get involved in that. You keep it between the board and the investigator?
Through the vice chair, Representative Stutes, that's correct. The investigator works with the board members, works with the licensees. Whatever problem area, that seems awfully high, those numbers, I don't think that it's really to that
right.
But as an example. And the licensees are fined. They have penalties in a penalty matrix that they follow.
I have one follow-up.
Go ahead.
And then I will stop. Does the board, through the vice chair, thank you, does the board have the capability of recommending a licensee have their license revoked?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, they're the ones that make a final decision on an investigation or a situation with a licensee, and they make the ultimate choice. After the investigation, the investigator brings it to the board, and they get to decide.
So you're saying, yes, the board has the option of revoking an individual's license?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, they have regulations that they have to follow.
Yes or no?
Do they? Yes.
The board has the final option of revoking license.
Under those certain circumstances, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Hovington? Do we have anyone else testifying? Thank you, Ms. Hovington. I'm seeing pointing.
I'm good.
Okay. We're all good. Okay. We will leave public testimony open. Are there any further questions from the committee? Okay. With that, we will set the bill aside. And there's no further business. This meeting will be adjourned at 4:25.